It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This from James to start the show. James wrote, Kevin, thought your B grade for Jaden Daniels was unfair. A rookie quarterback not throwing an interception and only taking two sacks against a Todd Bowles defense is at least a B+. Okay. And then this from Rennie X. I wish I had you for a teacher. A B for Jaden was on a major curve. All of his passing yards came late against Prevent, and the offense had 14 points during the part of the game that mattered. Nowhere near a B. Nowhere near a B. Closer to a D. A lot of different opinions on Jaden Daniels' first game as an NFL quarterback. More on this coming up. Good morning, everybody. Liam Griffin covers the team for the Washington Times. We'll have Liam on the show at 11 a.m. Our first, for Denton and I, our first NFL buy and sell segment of the season today. Hard to do after one game, but I've got a bunch of buys that I'm ready for, and maybe a sell or two as well. We'll get to that next hour. And I was reminded by some of you in Terp Nation that I teased yesterday, Denton, that I was going to talk about Maryland, Michigan State, you know, during your college football weekend recap, and that I never got to it. That's true, right? I never got to it.
That is correct.
Yes. Yeah, so I will today. I just forgot. Kind of like the team's performance on Saturday. Pretty forgettable. But I did mean to get to it yesterday, and so I will today at noon. We'll plug that in for 12 o'clock. So, yes, lots of opinions on Jaden Daniels' first NFL game, right? Because it wasn't one of those obvious one way or the other performances. It wasn't like, oh my God, you know, like RG3's first game in New Orleans in 2012. Or, you know, oh my God, the other way, how bad he was. And there was sort of a, you know, really digging into the game to kind of come up with, you know, how you felt. You know, on James, what he wrote, that I should have given Jaden a better grade because he didn't throw an interception and he only got sacked twice against a Todd Bowles defense. I mean, let me just say this. I liked Jaden's performance. I think a B is a decent grade. You know, I liked it when my kids got better grades than Bs, but B's not a terrible grade. It is better than average. So I liked his performance. I thought he did a lot of good things, more good things than not good things. He scrambled 7 or 8 times, and no less than, you know, 5 of those 7 to 8 scrambles were necessary scrambles to avoid what could have been sacks. I thought he did a nice job reading the pressure that Todd Bowles sent at him for the most part. There were a couple of times that he didn't, and I thought he made some decent throws. But I can't go higher than a B, James, because of a couple of things. Number one, the biggest opportunity of the game, the deep shot to Terry on 1st and 10 to start the third quarter, he overthrew. And he was a very good deep ball thrower at LSU. And I expect that he'll make that throw a lot this year. But that was a big opportunity to, on one play, from 70 yards away, get right back into the game. That would have made it 16-14. I talked a lot about, you know, on Monday and even yesterday, the one play that to me was the most concerning play for him. It was the play in which he took the big sack at midfield, or actually at about the Tampa 38, but by the time he got sacked, he was back towards midfield. The play in which he fumbled the football, Tyler Biotis jumped on it. It was on that first drive of the third quarter where he missed Terry on the first play. I didn't like that play because, you know, he backed up in the pocket. He didn't step up in the pocket. And I thought that there were receivers, Ertz and McCaffrey, open if he, you know, gets to them quickly and gets the ball out quickly. By the way, one of the reasons I just mentioned that is I wanted to bring up something. I had somebody who was listening to the show when I was discussing this one play who would know, tell me that the play was actually a wheel route for Eckler. And that was his first look. And by the time he got back to Ertz and McCaffrey, who were open, it was too late because of the pressure. And I did go back and look at that, and it's true. You know, Eckler's on a wheel route, and it does look like that may have been the number one progression. Interesting, right? On second, you know, it's a second and eight play. They went 1-by-4. Zacchaeus is actually supposed to kind of create the opportunity for a wheel with a, you know, a faux screen, which he didn't do a great job of, I didn't think. But he didn't go to Eckler. He could have gone to Eckler, I think, on the wheel. So that may have been a mistake. This same person did say, you're right, that he can't back up in the pocket. He's got to take that pocket. And also suggested to me, and I think I actually said this, that there was an opportunity for him to get out of the pressure by going left. There was a running lane that opened up. But, you know, that aside, the other thing, James, just on the picks, you know, not throwing any interceptions. You're right. He didn't put the ball in harm's way really at all. It's also fair to say that he only threw 16 passes before the final two drives of the game. A third of his pass attempts came on the final two drives of the game when they were down 30-14 and they were playing super soft coverage and even playing against players who were reserves for Tampa Bay at the end of that at the end of the game. You know, one of the drives it was 30-14, the other drive it was 37-14. So, you know, that is part of perhaps why he didn't put the ball in harm's way. He didn't really throw the ball that much during the portion of the game that mattered. 16 pass attempts, and there were some checkdowns and very safe throws involved. I don't have a problem with, you know, a lot of times, you know, even on the safe stuff and even on few attempts during the competitive portion of the game, quarterbacks can still put the ball in harm's way and can throw picks, and he didn't. I thought he did a good job of protecting the football. I thought he did a good job of getting out of what could have been sacks by scrambling. So, I don't know. I it's hard to give him much better than a B from my standpoint. Now, to Rennie X's note, I wish I had you for a teacher. A B for Jaden was on a major curve. All of his passing yards came late. Yeah, about 80 of his 184 came late. That's true. And it was, you know, prevent, whatever you want to call it, soft. And the offense had 14 points during the part of the game that mattered. Nowhere near a B, closer to a D. I mean... The reason that they had the 14 points during the part of the game that mattered was mostly because of him and his ability to scramble and avoid bad plays and turn bad plays and plays that were limited into positive plays. And again, and I emphasized this on Monday in particular, they didn't get many opportunities with the football. They only had three chances in the first half in which, after the first drive, which started off with the, you know, the backwards lateral pass that was charged as a fumble, you know, for him. By the way, you know, the other thing too, just about that particular play, you know, Jaden actually gets credited for, because it was a backwards pass to Brian Robinson Jr. on the first play of the game. That actually counts as one of his runs And it counts as one of his fumbles, which we've talked about the last 2 days. It also counts as one of his 16 rushes. Just if you're wondering where all these rushes came from, that's one of them. That count. That is not a Brian Robinson Jr. at all stat. It's not his lost yardage. It's Jaden's lost yardage because it's a fumble. It's counted as a fumble. And by the way, it's counted as a fumble and a big loss, a 15-yard loss. So anyway, I digress. A lot of the, you know, the 14-point, you know, criticism is that they had three possessions in the first half. They missed a field goal, 47-yarder, by the way, in today's day and age, is a high probability field goal. So you have a real kicker, you got 10 points there. You can also make the case that on the 4th and 3 at the Tampa 29 on that very first drive, that the analytics say go for it there. I didn't have a problem with them kicking a field goal, a 47-yarder. It's the first drive of the year in which they have gotten into scoring position. And the bottom line is, I think, you know, they wanted a something on the scoreboard to show for that first, you know, legitimate drive for them. But and then the fourth drive of the game, the first one of the third quarter, they miss another field goal. So it could have been 20 points on their first four drives, but they didn't have a kicker that could make it pay off for them. And then after that, you know, they are down, you know, at that point, they're down 16 and eventually 23 points. And they did score, obviously, on the drive to make it 23-14. I mean, if you take the real drives, by the way, a kneel down at the end of the first half is not, I don't count that as a drive. I think statistically it gets counted as a drive. I don't count a one-play kneel down. They should have had a drive there at the end of the first half had they called their timeout on defense. By the way, that's another rush for Jaden Daniels. Just reminded of that. The kneel down counts as a rush for Jaden Daniels too. So the fumble on the first play and then the kneel down are two of Jaden Daniels' rush attempts. So he really, what did he have, 16 in the game? Denton, 16 for 88?
16
so he
for
really
88,
had 14,
yeah.
And really it would have been 14 for, you know, you take that 15-yard loss on first down, it would have been more. But anyway, moving back to the overall production, on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 drives, right, they had a chance to score on 4 of those. And that was the competitive portion of the game, and then they're down 30-14, and it's pretty much, you know, 37-14, and it's pretty much game over. Well, it is. It's game over at that point. The defense just didn't give them a chance to have more meaningful drives, and by the way, just more drives, more opportunities with the football. So that would be my answer to you, Rennie, as to why there's no chance I could see giving Jaden a D grade because all of his passing yards came late against Prevent and they only had 14 points during the part of the game that mattered. The 14 points weren't his fault. They should have had 20 and they should have had more opportunities at the football had they had a defense that was worthy of anything. I liked more of what I saw from Jaden in his first game than less. And I want to know what you think, because we didn't take any calls on the show yesterday, and we didn't take probably as many calls as we wanted to on the day after the game. But in kind of letting a couple of days go by, and we're going to get focused on the Giants, you know, today, but tomorrow and Friday for sure. What did you think of Jaden Daniels in his first NFL game as the starting quarterback of this team? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I had a couple of, I really just got around late yesterday and this morning to looking at a lot of the tweets and emails that came in, and just kind of parsed out all of the stuff that I got on Jaden and the offense in particular. This from Brandon. When he slides, he's protected, Kevin, by rule. Remember that. So that's I really appreciate that. That's a really good point, Brandon. Brandon's pointing that out because I said that I didn't mind the way he went down and protected himself. Going forward, some people think, you know, awkwardly, whatever, that one of the reasons I liked it is that he's not giving up yardage. You know, once you go into that slide, the ball gets, marked right where you start to go into that slide. You fall forward, you're not losing yardage there. And I think once you start to kind of give yourself up going forward, defenders aren't going to hit you. But Brandon's got a point, and it's an excellent one. Once you go into a slide, you are protected. If you go forward, you're not protected. You're still a runner, no matter if you're going to the ground or not. And, you know, you are a runner as a quarterback, and you get treated as a runner unless you go into a slide, which is a concession, you know, play. So I appreciate that. That's a very good point. And, yes, he can, you know, he is open game. When he goes forward. I thought it was interesting to see a couple of other quarterbacks this weekend. Brock Purdy did it on Monday night. Lamar kind of always does it, and that is to go forward and risk taking a hit. Now, I will say that a lot of quarterbacks, when they go into that slide, because DBs and linebackers can't help themselves, they get hit, and sometimes it's a vicious hit. It's always flagged. I thought that was a really reasonable point, and I appreciate that. This from, where was the other one? This one from Will. We have to get away from the college stuff, Kevin. You said he's a very good pocket passer. Let him throw. He's going to get killed. Yeah, I there were several that were this, were kind of these kinds of reactions to Sunday. So here's my, my big, this is my quick response. No, I want him to be a run threat in this offense, in any offense. You take that away from him, you're taking that away from the team's best potential offensively. The college stuff is run everywhere, sometimes with quarterbacks who aren't even that mobile. The read option, we've been talking about this now for 12 years since we first really saw it in a major way with RG3. It is an absolute threat to a defense that if your quarterback is a legitimate threat to run the football, on most plays, it opens up the offense for everybody else. For Brian Robinson Jr. and Austin Ekeler are going to thrive this year based on RG3 being presented as a run threat, as a zone read / read option run threat. You want that. You absolutely want that. Play action, which will start, I think, hopefully, we'll start to see Kingsbury marry some of the play action stuff with some of the read option stuff. We did see some of that, a little bit of it, not enough in my opinion. But they also, again, didn't have the ball that much. You know, they only had three opportunities in the first half. But you want to see it used as a great play action setup. Once you have a QB back there that you know is a potential run threat, every single time he lines up in the pistol or shotgun, you have an advantage. You are 11 on 11 in the run game when he keeps it on that read option or when it's a designed run. You know, I explain this a lot because I think sometimes not everybody gets it, but this was the thing emphasized by Mike Shanahan so much to those of us that would have conversations with him about this. And this was the advantage, is that when you hand the ball off to a running back, You have 9 players, basically, that are potential blockers for that runner against 11, right? Because the quarterback's not blocking and the runner isn't blocking. When the quarterback is the runner, you are now a full 11 on 11. You've got the runner and you've got 10 blockers blocking for him. You've got the most amount of people blocking for that runner. So, yeah, I think his ability to threaten a defense as a run threat absolutely should be utilized, just like it is with, and I'm not talking about scrambles. Scrambles are great. I want him to use his legs to create and to extend plays and to scramble the way he did out of pressure to avoid sacks and turn negative plays or zero yardage potential plays, you know, incompletions into, you know, scrambles for yards. But in terms of his ability to threaten a defense with his legs as a runner on run downs, no. Can't take that away from the offense, and there's no chance that Kingsbury will. And the thing that I didn't love, you know, from Sunday, and I talked about this Monday and yesterday, is I don't love the quarterback counter stuff. I don't love the Lamar Jackson, Cam Newton, you know, quarterback power, quarterback counter, quarterback sweep stuff. That's not my favorite. I like the option stuff. The option stuff keeps defenses guessing. Once that ball gets stuck in the gut on that mesh with the back, you bring that second line of defense, those linebackers or any safety that's in the box, you make them take a step towards the line of scrimmage. You make that defensive end or outside linebacker either play quarterback or play the runner. And, you know, there are just so many potential options once you get the defense in conflict like that. So I want that. The quarterback counter stuff, I don't like it because it's a lot of stuff that ends up being kind of crowded. Lots of, you know, he ends up in a pile typically. You end up in a pile. And they ran one of those in the second half. Now, you know, quarterback counter that also, or quarterback power, which is also potentially part of an RPO, that's different. You know, if he's got an option to get the ball out quickly to one of his receivers or to take it on a quarterback counter or a quarterback power run, that's different. I don't mind that as much, but I don't like seeing the quarterback, especially him. Cam Newton was 260 pounds. Lamar Jackson throughout his career has been thicker. You know, I don't want to see Jaden and his 6'4" thinner frame end up being a true running back. That would be my preference, but, you know, I think we're going to get some of that. I do. You know, Kingsbury has had that in every college scheme he's had, and I'm pretty sure with even a much smaller quarterback in Kyler Murray, they ran some of those designed QB runs. Not option QB runs, designed QB runs. The option stuff, to me, is more protective. And there was one other one I'm looking for here. I think bottom line is you're going to have a coordinator that uses his quarterback as a run threat as much as possible because he understands how much it benefits the entirety of the offense. I mean, you know, some of our fans I know watch our team exclusively for the most part, but this is league wide. When you've got a quarterback that has mobility, you're insane not to have as part of your offense that read option possibility, that option for the quarterback to give it to the running back, keep it himself, or to turn that into play action as well. And then, of course, you have now, you know, as the Eagles really and the Chiefs were the first to kind of introduce the college concept of kind of read option into RPO, where you got the option to give it to the running back, give it, pull it and run it, pull it and throw it. But again, you know, RPO, run pass option, is in the NFL much different than it is in college, because the linemen only have 1 yard before they are ineligible. In college, they have 3 yards downfield before they are ineligible. That's the big difference between, you know, run pass option at the college level and run pass option at the NFL level. But no, I like Jaden being a part of the run game. And it would be, to me, really limiting if... Look, I think he can do a lot of different things. I think there are a lot of offenses that he would thrive in. But certainly having a percentage of your offense look like there's a possibility he's going to run on a play, and he does run on a play, you only have to do that 3 or 4 times to make sure that the defense now is, you know, concentrating on number 5 as a potential runner. And that just makes it easier for everybody else. All you got to do is go back and look at the single biggest running back rushing season in franchise history, 2012, Alfred Morris. There is zero chance he sets a franchise rushing record without his quarterback being the run threat that he was out of pistol, you know, and read option. I mean, he feasted on read option runs. All right, what here 2 days after the fact, 3 days after the fact, what did you think of Jaden Daniels? You can describe it as a grade. You can describe it with, you know, your own words. But what was your thought on how he played in his first NFL game? 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you're going through, like, most of the time, going through the progressions and probably with experience, I would say, like, taking sacks, like on some of the second down ones that went, John, one might have been around the plus 48 and one was in close to field goal range. So I think those ones, you know, where they kind of set you back to, you know, not give you the chance to continue a drive or, you know, potentially give yourself a chance at points. Those would be probably the two plays of not a sack onto those scenarios. So good question. And those would be the first thing that came to mind for me is, you know, field position and the loss of a sack.
Yeah, both of his sacks were right around midfield. I think he was referring to the one during the what I would call the competitive portion of the game before they were down, you know, 30-14 or 37-14 in the fourth quarter, and that would be the play that at the second and eight at the Tampa 36, the wheel route concept for Eckler with also Ertz and McCaffrey. Running shallow and then medium crossers and probably should have gotten rid of the ball. Now, you know, again, there was pressure, you know, there was quick pressure, but I think that would be the one because you still are in the game. That's 16-7, right? You missed Terry on that first play. You came back. You had a really good scramble on a second and 11. They got bailed out, remember, on that third down with a hold. They kept him on the field, a defensive hold on Smith on third and 10. And then you're driving to try to make it a ball game early in the third quarter and needed to stay on the field. Now, that third and 18, which came the play after. Oh, I've got something else on that. I forgot to mention that. Okay, I will mention, we're going to get to phone lines, how Jaden played. But the trick play where McCaffrey should have lateraled it back, the same person that told me about the Eckler wheel route also had a comment about that particular play and why McCaffrey may not have thrown it right away. I will get to that coming up here, I promise you, before the end of this hour. But Your chance, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. So somebody that didn't see any of the game, how would you describe to that person how Jaden Daniels played? Grade it, critique it, describe it in your own words. Let's start with Bobby, my guy in North Carolina. It's been a while, Bobby. Hope you're well. Go ahead.
Hey, bro. You've just been busy, bro. I'm listening every day. I thought Jaden was good. Overall, he didn't soil his pants. Okay, I didn't expect him to. But his legs are going to be definitely a weapon for us going forward. When he gets out there in space, it's pretty electric what he can do. But, Kevin, I do got two concerns, though, about what's going on already. The pre-snap motion by our receivers, there was nothing all day Sunday. You know what I'm saying? We didn't have any pre-snap, you know, we didn't have any receivers running around.
There wasn't a lot of it, that's true. There was some of it, but there wasn't a lot of it, that's true.
Yeah. Well, I think it needs to be done more, and the reason why I say that is because obviously we're not getting separation for anybody for him to throw to. So if you got motion, it kind of confuses a little bit on the defense, and maybe that'll help our guys get open because we had zero separation just about all day. He really didn't have anybody to throw to, except the one ball that he missed carry on, you know, to start the third quarter. But other than that, he just didn't have much to throw to because the guys weren't getting up, Kevin, and that's very concerning, you know. But overall, Jaden was good. I mean, he's just going to get better. The more snaps he gets, you know, he'll get better. But his legs are definitely will be a help to us, you know, moving forward, man. And good to talk to you, bud. I listen every day. Just been busy, man.
Bobby. I appreciate you calling, as always. Great to hear your voice. Let's go to Chad. Chad in Nashville. What'd you think of Jaden Daniels on Sunday, especially now that we've had a couple of days to kind of digest it?
What's good, Kevin? Thanks for taking my call, as always, Chad. Brother. So I was in Chicago with a bunch of buddies, a little bachelor trip, and, you know, they're Titans fans, you know, all from Nashville. So they went to the game. I wasn't going to drop that money, you know. And so we're at Barstool watching the Chicago Bears game first and then Jaden Daniels. And, you know, Caleb Williams going through what he was going through. He ruined my parlay real quick, just so you know. I think the fingernail polish had glue on his on it because he was scared to throw the football. He ruined my parlay. I can't stand it. Anyways, Jaden Daniels. It was awesome watching him run. I was a little concerned. I wanted him to throw the football more, but I actually think it's a very telling of Jaden that he did run the amount he did and didn't throw because there wasn't receivers open, barely at all. And I remember watching it. So that tells me that he went through his reads, I would hope, I think so, and then he's not going to force it, and he pulled it and he went. That's awesome. Now, was it not awesome watching? It almost looked effortless, him going 10 yards, almost like in three steps, just like that. And my buddies looking at me like, dude, he is fast. And I'm like, I didn't think he was that fast, you know, but he looked extremely fast. I am excited about what's to come. Listen, I consider this game more of like a fourth preseason game. I think the guy you had on yesterday, I like how he put it, but I'm not concerned about really anything that I saw. I think he's going to be just fine. This is the first game. What I am more concerned about, what I would say to people, Jaden Daniels looked great. I'm hoping Cliff Kingsbury shows us something in the next few weeks because I wasn't happy with the game plan. And I'll let you take it from there and tell me what you think of that.
I think that there were a lot of things that he did that were suitable for a first game for a rookie quarterback. I think you made a really good point, and I think the numbers bared it out. It was something that we talked about, and Denton found the numbers yesterday, and I forget exactly what it was, Denton. Again, it was like top 60. Washington didn't have one receiver in the top 60 in terms of separation. Look, there were a couple of opportunities, you know, like I said, on that second Nate sack in the third quarter. The other big sack that he took, there's a chance to hit immediately against some pretty creative dialed up pressure by Todd Bowles, who, by the way, is really good at this. Okay. Like your first game We talked about this all last week. Your first game going against a team that's back in full, has good players, won a playoff game, was in the game against Detroit with an excellent, excellent defensive mind in Todd Bowles, is a real challenge. And I think for the most part, especially given that they weren't on the field a hell of a lot, they dealt with the, with those pressures. You know, the second sack, which we didn't talk a lot about, which was a big loss, but it's also at a point in the game in which kind of the game is over. There is a chance probably quickly to hit the check down. I'm pretty sure it was Eckler on that play, if my memory serves me correctly from watching it. And he tried to get out of the pressure and scramble again, you know, because he had been successful with that. But, yeah, there's probably an opportunity. And, you know, by the way, on that play, now that I think about it, Eckler – I think it's Lavonte David who comes free. It may have been somebody else. But Eckler may have had the responsibility of picking up David on the blitz. And instead, he slips into the checkdown area, which I think Jaden can probably hit him for a checkdown on that spot. But he was not able. Was that? Did David have that sack? That big sack, the we're not talking about the one in the third quarter. We're talking about the other one where he took a big sack. Who was that? Who ended up with the sack? I don't know. But anyway, the point being, there were some opportunities. I guarantee you there's some plenty, as you know, Quinn said right after the game, there's plenty of teaching tape here, you know, a couple where he should have let it rip, and I probably would have, you know, well, I would definitely agree with that. They know more than we do. But even from just the All-22, it would seem that there were some of those opportunities. Let's go to Aveen. Aveen, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. I was largely relieved watching Jaden Daniels, seeing that his speed, quickness, elusiveness, vision translates to the NFL. He was really smart in getting down early. I think we can start disregarding the pressure to sack concerns because he faced a real test on Sunday with all the different blitzes and pressures he faced. And I think he passed with flying colors. I thought his pocket presence, his pocket awareness, his feel for when pressure was coming was all exceptional. So I think that's a big concern lifted for now. I know it's just week one. But where the concern starts to creep in for me just a little, and I know it's week one, so maybe they had the training wheels on the offense, but was Cliff Kingsbury, because I was under the impression and had the belief that Kingsbury was constructing this unique, innovative, specifically tailored to Jaden Daniels type of offense. I was expecting much more zone read-centric offense. I was expecting much more threatening formations.
We had a lot of zone. A lot of the Brian Robinson Jr. runs were zone read runs. Several of them were.
But it was. I was expecting like much more run threatening type of formations. You know, pistol, multiple guys in the backfield, guys motioning in and out of the backfield, play action, misdirection. You know, the type of offense you see Baltimore run, the type of offense you saw the Shanahans bring here with RG3.
Right.
And instead, what we got to me, what looked like was, I felt like he was like bare naked a lot in the backfield, dropping back to pass, not any extra help blockers. It was all very spread out. It seemed like they were just running a lot of short, intermediate, you know, hitch routes, out routes, and just trying to get the ball out quick. But I think with the personnel we have, I think Robinson and Eckler looked great. I think with the personnel we have, it's malpractice not to run, you know, more zone read, run heavy, run threatening formations to always keep defense guessing, run a lot more play action, stuff like that.
No, I hear what you're saying. I think we had a lot of, you know, certainly zone read looks and zone read plays. I mean, out of the, you know, how many plays did they run in the game? You know, before the last two drives, you really have to take those last two drives when they're down 37-14, 30-14, and, you know, they're in drop-back mode at that point. But, you know, basically you're talking about maybe 40 plays before that the last two drives. And what I would like to see is I think everybody's going to benefit if – Brian Robinson Jr. is established a little bit earlier, but every opponent's different. They're going to attack each opponent differently. But I think you're underestimating sort of the zone read effectiveness in game one. Jaden scored, the first touchdown off zone read. I think Brian Robinson Jr.'s biggest run, which was like an 8-yard run, was off of zone read. Just, this, Aveen, but for everybody else, if the quarterback doesn't keep it, it doesn't mean that it wasn't a read option or a zone read play. The read option is to read, and either the option is to either hand it off to the runner or keep it yourself. And it's typically predicated on what that outside linebacker or D-end does. If he crashes, the quarterback keeps it. If he plays the quarterback, then Brian Robinson Jr. gets the ball. Now, sometimes you will see that D-end or that outside linebacker blocked by a tight end that is in motion or perhaps lined up there, and they want the quarterback to keep it off of that mesh. I think it's one game. They didn't have the ball a lot with the game, competitive. They scored on 4 of their first 6 drives. You're going to want to see, a little bit more of kind of the run pass married together. This was probably the number one criticism of Kingsbury and Arizona, even though they had a pretty productive offense and a pretty balanced productive offense in 2021, the one good season he had there. But it's one game, and it's also just keep in mind, I know I'm beating a dead horse here, but it's a game in which your defense never gave you a chance to be in a game that was competitive much beyond that first drive of the third quarter. And you didn't get many opportunities when you had the foot to get the football because your defense couldn't get off the field and give you those opportunities. And you certainly didn't have any short field opportunities, right? I mean, the starting field positions, the 21, the 30, which was, a kickoff into the end zone, the 26, the 30, again, after a kickoff, the 30, the 40 after the one punt they had in the game. They punted one time, and the best starting field position was the 40-yard line, the 25-yard line, and the 30-yard line. So you didn't get any turnovers. You didn't get any short fields, and you still move the ball on 4 of the 6 possessions during the competitive portion of the game. James, Marcus, Dale, anybody else on hold, stay there. Your chance to just weigh in 3 days now and counting after the game. But what did you think of Jaden Daniels in his first NFL game? Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Major League Baseball, the last time we saw Mackenzie Gore on the mound for the Nationals, he gave us one of the best performances of the season. That was not the case last night. The Nats get slaughtered by the Braves 12-0. Mackenzie Gore doesn't even reach the fourth inning. 3 2/3, allows 7 runs on 6 hits. Ugly, ugly performance. They're back at it tonight. Jay Gervin going to be on the mound for the Nats at 6:45. In the NFL, the Panthers' Derek Brown is out for the season with a knee injury. It's a meniscus injury that he suffered in the team's Week 1 loss in New Orleans. In college football, Auburn quarterback Peyton Thorne says that bettors have been Venmo requesting him after Auburn's 21-14 loss to replace some of the wagers that they lost. Thorne threw 3 or 4 picks, rather, in that loss for Auburn. And that's what's trending.
All right, Liam Griffin from The Times. It will join us at 11:25, Denton?
Yep.
Okay, good. We'll have him on at 11:25. Let me just tell you real quickly before we get back to the phone lines and get your thoughts on Jaden Daniels. So the other thing that I was told about the 3rd-and-18 trick play, where McCaffrey catches the bubble screen and the plan is to lateral it back or throw it back backwards as a lateral to Jaden Daniels with essentially like a punt return wall setup, is that Jaden didn't get to the spot and get his head turned around quickly enough, and McCaffrey was afraid to throw it before he was ready to receive it. I went back and watched that. There is some, it would appear that that's not an unreasonable, you know, position. Jaden's very casual, trying to sell it, you know, like sell the bubble, like the play's over, but he's moving, you know, casually back behind, and he doesn't turn his head around, and by the time he turns his head around, he's wide open, but McCaffrey kind of at that point thinks it's too late to throw it. So that was the other piece of information that I got in talking about this stuff, about some of the plays that we highlighted the last couple of days. All right, 301-230-0980. Phone lines packed. Let's just talk Jaden Daniels here. What did you think? Critique it, grade it. Just want to hear your thoughts on his first game as an NFL quarterback. Let's go to Paulie. And Paulie, I just want to very, very much extend my sympathies and hope you and your family are doing well. So sorry to hear about your loss.
Hail to the W. Thank you, big guy, man. I appreciate that. Are we going to stay on Jaden Daniels? Okay.
Yep.
I thought he played well. And he made a lot of mistakes, but he did a lot of good things. You know, what I like to see the most was his competitive nature. It got to a point in the game, and I think I tweeted it to you, you can see him try to put the team on his shoulders.
Right.
You can never go wrong with your quarterback knowing the moment, like, okay, my team needs for me to make a play. You know, he's just not at the point in his career in game one where he could actually do that. And I think at some point, and you was talking about it yesterday and on your podcast, I think at some point at the game, he started losing the fundamentals of the position on that sack fumble he had.
Yeah.
When he dripped it back into the pocket.
Right.
So that's the only thing that concerns me is with him mixing with the offensive line. They definitely have to get that together because one thing you don't want him to start doing is developing bad habits because of pressure. So, but I give him a C-plus on the day. I mean, he didn't compete any passes downfield. You can't say he had a great day and he didn't compete any passes downfield. And on that trick play, another thing I noticed too, it looked like he floated that ball out there to McCaffrey. That might have threw off the timing for McCaffrey too.
On the bubble, so, yeah. Yeah,
on that bubble,
not a bad observation.
And it was kind of hot, so I think you know for McCaffrey, it was like this is not how we practice. But yeah, man, I give him a C+. And like I said, you know, they got to work on the offensive line, and because I don't want him to develop bad habits that he can't get away from, you know, and later on in the year. You know, it's going to keep him, you know, from developing.
And I think that was the one play in which, you know, you never want to see a quarterback drift backwards out of the pocket, you know, into where, you know, the tackles have set and they're, like, not expecting the quarterback to be where the rushers are going to end up. And that would be, you know, that's a bad habit, obviously, and something you didn't really see in college. But I'm with you on that. Thanks, and I'll talk to you soon.
And he did.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Answer the jump.
All right, appreciate it, Paulie. Let's go to Marcus in College Park. Marcus, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. Great programming as usual. What more could you ask for from a rookie quarterback going up against a playoff style defense coached by a brilliant guy? I mean, he did everything that he could to help that team win the game. The defense, of course, didn't hold their end up. But to expand on just what you and Paulie were talking about regarding bad habits, because he's so talented, because he's basically a exciting running back part-time, he doesn't develop the habit of the first impulse when that pocket starts getting tight is to take off and run. We've seen that replayed before in this town, and it ended up badly. But to Paulie's point and your point, they have to have an offensive line that's going to permit him to step up in the pocket. The premier quarterbacks in this league can do both. They can throw from the pocket, that gives you the long pass, or they can extend plays, pick up first downs, or make a difference in a game. Thank you very much, Kevin.
Thanks, Marcus. Agree with all that. And I think there were a couple of examples. He had one to Ertz over the middle, one to Eckler, actually, who was in a route, not as a check down necessarily, where he's in the pocket, the processing is quick, the ball's out quickly. To Paulie's point, though, yeah, it's hard to give somebody more than a B when you didn't really have a completion, you know, a legitimate completion downfield. You know, the longest completions were catches and runs by Robinson Jr. and Eckler. You know, the longest reception for a receiver in the game was Terry had an 11-yard reception. Ertz had a 12-yard reception. It was actually that Ertz 12-yard reception that I think was super quick, balls out quickly. He can do that. There's no doubt that he has the ability to do that. I would say of the, I think it was 8 scrambles, to me it was like 5, no less than 5 were legitimate scrambles to avoid a bad play and get a positive play out of it, avoiding, you know, a potential sack without many options there. Except for a couple that I've talked about this week. All right, stay on hold. James, Ralphie, Dale, Kenny, Patrick, your thoughts on Jaden Daniels here 3 days after the fact. How did he play in his first NFL game? Liam Griffin from the Washington Times will join us at 11:25. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.